I want to welcome you again as we gather together for worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent. The term Advent refers to the four-week period of time in which we prepare for Jesus to come to us, not just as an infant born 2,000 years ago, but also as Jesus who comes to us here and now, loving us, comforting us, and at times challenging us. Today, we are going to look at what it means to welcome the Jesus who comes to us in the midst of the messiness of our lives here and now. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. The story has been around for over 50 years, and the general form of the story has remained remarkably unchanged for half a century. It is the story of a Christmas pageant that was being performed somewhere in the Midwest. The pageant director, Ms. Lombard, was concerned about what role to give Wally. Wally was a very shy child, big for his age, and perhaps a little awkward. He very much wanted to be in the pageant, and at the same time was terrified by the idea of taking part in it. Finally, Ms. Lombard decided to give Wally the role of the innkeeper. Wally would only need to learn one line, and his size would make him seem intimidating as he would have to turn Mary and Joseph away in their search for lodging. Wally was absolutely delighted to have been given such an important role. The night of the pageant arrived, and the play was proceeding according to plan. Mary and Joseph came to the door of the inn. Joseph knocked on the door, and Wally opened it. "Please, sir, do you have a room we could take?" asked Joseph. Wally shook his head and replied, "I'm sorry, we have no room." "But, sir," said Joseph to the innkeeper, "my wife is about to have her baby and we need somewhere to stay. Couldn't you find us a room?" Wally, with authority, spoke his one and only line again. "I'm sorry, we have no room." "But, sir," replied Joseph, "we've traveled such a long way and we've nowhere else to go. My wife is very tired. Surely you can find us somewhere." Thoroughly into his character now, Wally said firmly, "I'm sorry, we have no room." Forlorn and dejected, Joseph and Mary started walking away. And Wally, suddenly consumed with a sense of shame and sadness, a tear trickling down his cheek, called out to them saying, "Wait! Please come back. You are welcome here, and you can have my room." Wally was ready to welcome Mary and Joseph and Jesus and to make room for them. It is a sweet story about a Christmas pageant from decades ago. Now, I need to say this morning that there is no mention in the Bible of an innkeeper at all. And most biblical scholars believe that Mary and Joseph found lodging in a stable with distant relatives and not at the ancient Palestinian equivalent of the Motel 6. Still, this story about Wally has deep roots. And I suspect that the reason the story has lingered for so long is that at some level we all understand the importance of welcoming and making room for Jesus. Yet the scripture passages we heard today allude to the fact that when we do welcome and make room for Jesus, our worlds can be turned upside down. We heard the passage from the Magnificat this morning. It is the hymn that Mary sings when she is visiting with her relative Elizabeth. Brandon and Jeremiah shared that as they were lighting the candles on the Advent wreath. And it is a hymn that talks about how God can turn the world upside down, filling the hungry with good things and sending the rich away empty, scattering the proud in the imaginations of their heart, but lifting up those who are lowly and humble. When we welcome and make room for Jesus in our lives, our worlds can, in fact, be turned upside down with that kind of reversal of fortune. In the gospel lesson for today, we heard the story of Mary's visit to Elizabeth, and Mary's story and Elizabeth's story both show us how God, through Jesus, turned the world upside down for them. First, Elizabeth was an older woman who had been childless for years. To be barren was an embarrassment that was typically understood as the fault of the wife. To make matters worse, Elizabeth's husband was a temple priest. Clearly, in the eyes of the community, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, was above reproach, and so there must have been something wrong with her for them not to have had children, even though the scripture makes it clear that Elizabeth was a righteous woman, blameless before the Lord as well. Nevertheless, Elizabeth spent years feeling disgraced among the people of her town because she and her husband did not have any children, and the public assumption was that it must be her fault. She must be defective or sinful or not worthy of the blessing of children. But God moved in a mighty way, turning things upside down. And in her later years, Elizabeth became pregnant with a son whom she and her husband named John, who would grow up to become one of the greatest prophets ever, John the Baptist. God turned Elizabeth's situation upside down from a feeling of failure and disgrace in her community to one of joy and celebration. She was brought from being despised to a place of honor, from brokenheartedness to blessing. Sometimes welcoming Jesus into our lives and our world turns things upside down. And then there is Mary, the relative of Elizabeth, a young woman. Scripture doesn't tell us her age, but it is safe to assume she was 13 or 14 years old, from a no-place town. Nazareth didn't even appear on the maps of those days. She was an unknown girl from an almost unknown place. She was engaged to Joseph, but not yet with him in marriage. And she finds herself pregnant through God's work overcoming her. Her fiancé is ready to break off the engagement. There's the possibility that she could be put to death as an adulteress. At a minimum, as a teenaged single mother with no father standing beside her, she is going to be treated as an outcast in her own community. But God moved in a mighty way. This woman gave birth to the Savior of the world, and subsequent generations have indeed called her blessed, as she prophesied in the song that Jeremiah and Brandon read. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. She was brought from being an outcast to being one who is respected and even revered. Sometimes welcoming Jesus into our lives and our world turns things upside down. Of course, sometimes welcoming Jesus into our lives turns things upside down in ways that we do not expect, and in ways that, from the perspective of the world, seems unsettling or even counterproductive. Because when we find ourselves in positions of comfort and ease, welcoming Jesus can turn our focus from ourselves to look more at God and others. Jesus can turn our lives upside down, moving us from a place of comfort to a place of commitment. Noted pastor and author Shane Claiborne once said that there are people who tell stories of how their lives were messed up, and then they met Jesus and everything got better. He said that's not his story. His story is that his life was pretty good. And then he met Jesus, and everything got messed up. He wasn't content to focus on himself anymore. He developed an almost single-minded commitment to being with those who are poor and helping those who are poor and challenging those who could do the same to live as followers of Jesus, asking again and again the question, what if Jesus really meant what he said? What if Jesus meant it when he said, if you have two coats, give away one? What if Jesus really meant it when he said, we are to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick? About 4 years ago, I got to hear Shane Claiborne speaking in person. His speaking impressed me, and his call for commitment to a simple lifestyle made an impact on me. He stepped on my toes a little bit, but that's okay. Sometimes that's an important thing to have happen. But he did invite us to live in ways that take seriously the words and the calling of Jesus to care for the poor among us. But what really hit me was the car he was driving. You see, it was February when we had that event, and there was a huge snowstorm coming in. It was predicted to hit late that day, but it arrived earlier than expected, and so we ended our session early. As my husband Mike and I headed out to our Ford truck with its four-wheel drive ability, we were feeling pretty comfortable about our ability to make it back home safely. But there, parked beside us, was a beat-up old station wagon. It reminded me of the one that my parents had whenever I was in middle school. It was maybe a 1970s or 80s station wagon. It was clearly not a four-wheel drive vehicle or an all-wheel drive vehicle. It probably wasn't even front-wheel drive. And the owner didn't even have a snow brush in it to clean off his windshield. So my husband, Mike, took our snow brush and cleaned it off for him. And you can guess who the driver was, right? It was Shane Claiborne. He welcomed Jesus into his life, and it turned his life upside down into a man who, because of Jesus, gives most of his income away to help others. And because of that, he drives a beat-up old station wagon in the snow. He welcomed Jesus, and his life was turned upside down. Maybe you're like Elizabeth and feel brokenhearted and sad. Maybe you are like Mary and feel rejected and ostracized. Maybe you are like Shane and feel like your life is pretty good and fairly comfortable. Whoever and wherever you are, when you welcome Jesus, you can find your life turned upside down. And whether you are like Elizabeth or Mary or Shane, that is good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.